and welcome to the Belgian Football Podcast. I'm your host for this episode, Scott Coyne, and I am not alone. Oh no, I am joined by the one and only Mr. Joris Beck. How are you, Joris?
Hi, perfect. I'm all right.
Good man.
I can't wait for this special.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really interesting one. I'm excited to hear from our special guest. So this episode of the BFP is the latest in our series of match previews for upcoming European games. And as always, we've been joined by a special guest to help kind of guide us through a more in-depth insight into the Belgian team's opposition. And on this special, we're delighted to be joined by Anna Konovalova. Anna is an Austrian football analyst for Football Radar. And as part of her role, Anna covers the typical Bundesliga in Austria. Anna, a very warm welcome to the BFP. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, I'm delighted to be here tonight.
Great. We're really excited to learn more about LASK. We thought we might start by asking you to give us a little bit of general context on LASK and sort of how they're doing domestically at the moment.
Well, LASK is basically one of the Austrian sensations in the last seasons because it's a team, well, it's a historical team, of course, with lots of tradition, but they weren't doing really well for quite a long time. And a few seasons ago, something changed. The club has been like renewed, and as a consequence of that, they started doing things just right. So they are only playing in the Bundesliga for the last four consecutive seasons, but they were already fighting for top places, and they were even a real title candidate last season. But yeah, there was a story that made headlines in all Europe when they breached COVID training rules that were imposed in Austria, and they were fined with several points, and the mood in the team was destroyed, and they finished the season only fourth. So this is how they ended up in the Europa League, and they had to qualify for this place.
Yeah, they had a noticeable European campaign last year, didn't they? They did very well.
Yeah, they were. They've had a very successful season in Europe as well, and in Austria too. They made it to the playoffs in the Europa League, and in the end they were beaten by Manchester United, which was expected. But in general, yeah, it was a very successful campaign before COVID.
And what was the reaction in Austria and in the sort of the LASK camp to this year's group draw?
Actually, everyone's really optimistic about this group because obviously there is Tottenham, which is a tough cookie, let's say it like that. But apart from that, everyone expects LASK to do good as well this season and to aim for the second place because, well, these three teams that complete the group are more or less of the same level. So everything's possible.
So they were happy with the draw then?
Yes.
And tell us a little bit more about how LASK like to kind of set up tactically. How do they like to play?
So they are a team that is used to playing 3-4-3. And they're generally known for, first, a lot of pressing. Then they are really basing their football on short passes and combinations, and they're really good at it. And also they are known for being good in terms of using the free spaces up front. So they have players that are really good with that. Also, one of their major strengths are set pieces. Set pieces from anything up to the throw-ins. They even score an incredible amount of goals from throw-ins. So yeah, they're a really dangerous team in terms of set pieces.
So set pieces is something that Antwerp are going to have to pay some particular attention to, you think?
Yes, exactly, and especially when it comes to a special player combination, because they have a very, very well-trained combo from corners, because they have Petr Mihorl, their just magical playmaker midfielder, who is really good at corners, and there's a central defender, Gernot Trauner, who's really good at scoring with his head, and this combo is just lethal.
That's really interesting, actually, because, you know, it's not often you hear kind of people say, you know, you need to be wary of corners and throw-ins from this side. That's really, really interesting. Who are the kind of key players that sort of our listeners might need to look out for?
So two of them, I've already named them. So Petr Mihorl is just the center of their mechanism in the center, and he's one of the strongest midfielders in the Austrian league with Austrian passports. And the defender and the captain, Gernot Trauner, who's not only good with playing with his head, but he's also a really, really solid central defender. And he's undeservedly ignored by the national team, and that's basically a crime. Also, I have to add two names to this list. It's their goalkeeper, Alex Schlager. He's probably the brightest young goalkeeper in the league. Mm-hmm. And he's already a part of the national team, and it looks like he's going to be number one at the Euros. And the second is basically their main star. It's Thomas Goidinger, a very, very creative winger with a really strong dribbling. But he has been absent for a long time because he ruptured his ACL in March. Right. And he's only coming back right now, like in these weeks. He's been with the team for a couple of games, already had some minutes, but he's not like in his top form. But when LASK get him fully, they're going to be significantly stronger than they are now.
All right, that's interesting. Do you think the game next week might come too soon for him?
I think they could already risk him and start, but maybe he's going to be used as a sub. So it's going to be decided on the day or something. Because he already started one game, but it was a low priority game. It was a cup game, I believe.
Ah, right. Okay, yes. I suppose it's one of those injuries, actually, you have to be kind of careful to manage when somebody's coming back, don't you? That's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
And how do you see the kind of double header with Antwerp kind of going? Because obviously now that we've had a couple of match days, we know for certain that the upcoming double header is almost certainly going to have a kind of major impact on how the group finishes up. How do you feel about the double header?
Yeah, I think these two games will be the ones that will decide the group in the end, because it looks like Ludogorets could be out of the race quite early. But LASK and Antwerp will be the two main candidates. So it's really important for LASK, obviously, to go well through these two games.
Yeah, and you know, try and get maybe, I don't know, I suppose both sides will be looking to try and get four, maybe out of 6 points over the next couple of games to see them through qualification. Wanted to ask you as well about Lukas Grgic. Is he likely to be a big miss next week for LASK? Because obviously he got sent off last night against Ludogorets. Is that likely to have a big game?
No, actually he's a bench player, and he made it to the starting 11 only because of an injury. So in the end, it's not going to play a big role, because the player he was substituting is expected to come back quite soon. So it's not a problem.
All right. Okay. That's good to know, because we were kind of keeping an eye on that last night, and we made a little note to ask you whether that might have an impact on next week. Dare we ask you for a prediction for the first game next week?
Actually quite tough. I think maybe the first game could end in a draw or something, with both opponents are still like trying waters. So maybe a draw.
Okay.
And maybe a high goal one, because LASK are known for like not getting enough of just sitting at 1-1 or something.
Yeah, last night proved that for sure.
Yeah, of course. And that was quite a typical thing for LASK.
Yeah, we were keeping one eye on that game last night, actually, and we noticed how many goals there was in it, and that the incidents in the game didn't seem to have much impact on the way that the game was kind of being played, actually.
It looks like Antwerp will have to be more careful with converting their chances, like, because both games against Ludogorets and against Tottenham, they should have decided it way before the final whistle. And in the end, they won twice with only one goal margin. So they have to be careful to convert their chances this time.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Be more clinical, I think that's the message, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also can be important with Loft because they have really good bench options that are usually making a big impact on the game. So they are a team that's usually strong in the end of matches. So should be a major point.
Finish games strongly then. That's something to watch out for.
Yes, yes.
Is that because of the strength on the bench or because of when they tactically make their substitutions, Anna?
I think it's connected to the players that are on the bench because they have quite a strong attack and they brought in many young players in the last window or two that are not seen as potential starting 11 players, but they are getting experience from the bench. So when you have a lot of young, exciting players who are hungry for playing time, it's always dangerous.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, actually. While we've got you here, Anna, we must just ask you briefly about Raphael Holzhauser. We're very lucky here at Belgian Football Podcast. We get to see a lot of Rafa Holzhauser, who's absolutely flying at Beerschot at the moment. And, of course, he got his first call-up to the national team recently as well. What's the kind of general feeling in Austria about Holzhauser and how he's kind of doing in Belgium?
Actually, everyone's incredibly surprised because while he was in Austria, he was seen as a player who has some talent, but maybe not. He wasn't seen as a star material or something, and he's... Mm. Performances were more subpar than and probably below his potential. So right now, when he's smashing it in Belgium, everyone's terribly surprised. But the call up to the national team was clearly deserved. And actually, the Austrian national team manager, Franco Foda, isn't really a manager who calls up players only on their recent form. So he's a bit stubborn. So everyone was surprised that he actually went for it and called up Rafa. So, yeah,
it's been a surprise. Like
a big surprise right now.
That's been really interesting to hear, actually, because last year when Beerschot were in the lower division, he performed very well. And there was question marks as to whether he'd be able to perform at the same level coming up to the top division, the Pro League in Belgium. But he's certainly maintained that, if not exceeded it. And at the moment is definitely one of the kind of top two or three players in the league there. So I think if he can maintain that, certainly you're going to see a lot more of him, we would hope, for the Austrian national side, yeah.
I'll also apologize to the Antwerp fans listening to bring up a baseball player in their special, but that's just
it's one of the joyful ironies of covering Belgian football that sometimes we have to talk about players' rivals as well. You know, kind of it's good. It's good.
Well, they won the derby last week, and so they will be not too angry. I hope.
That's right. Yeah. Antwerp getting the better of their city rivals for the first time this season. Well, I think that's about all we've got time for in this special PV episode of the BFP. Thanks so much, Anna, for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Great. It's been great to learn a lot more about LASK. You can find Anna on Twitter at FRFootballAnna, and that's definitely worth a follow to get a more in-depth insight into Austrian football. Now, regular listeners will know that we always love receiving feedback and questions here at the BFP. And if you fancy a little bit of that, and as I keep saying, why on earth wouldn't you? You can tweet us at Belgian Podcast, or you can email us belgianfootpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find the three of us guys, that's me at Scott_Coyne. You can find our Joris at Joris_Beck, that's BECQ. And our regular host Ben, you can find at BenJack94. We'd also love it as well if you enjoy listening to the pods and what we're doing here at the Belgian Football Podcast. It'd be great if you would maybe consider leaving us a wee review on whatever platform you access the pod from. That'd be fantastic. Just helps us kind of spread the word about Belgian football just a little bit further and wider. So until next time, stay safe, everybody, and we'll be back with you again soon for another episode of the BFP.